3CM, the Captain's Run with Kane Corns.
Yeah, very good morning to you. It was a massive first hour, it must be said. I reckon we almost took a record amount of calls, heaps of texts coming through. Apologies, couldn't get to all of those. But it's a really interesting AFL season that is in front of us. And Melbourne's form last night was exactly what Melbourne fans would have wanted to see. And for Port Adelaide, and to those of you waking up this morning in a bad mood, there's probably good reason for that, because the premiership hopes have probably evaporated again, and the facts are the facts that they are not good enough to compete against the best teams in it. Big guests coming up. We're going to go to the Saints and speak to Callum Wilkie, who's one of their unheralded stars, putting together a fine season. We'll talk some Olympics with a great story. Matty Clark has qualified on the death knock the last minute in the steeplechase. He'll join us after 11. And game two of the NBA Finals is on. Dean Vickerman is the Melbourne United coach. He's live from the Sporting Globe's NBA Finals watch party. We'll talk some more footy, though, now with AFL.com.au. Guru Kau Toomey is his name. Hey, Kau, thanks for your time, buddy.
Anytime, Kane. How are you?
What did you make of the D's last night? Pretty impressive.
They were too good, weren't they?
And again,
there's probably the question mark on the Port Adelaide midfield, and it's an area that they've looked at bolstering over the past couple of years. They're interested in Zach Merritt this year around as a restricted free agent. So clearly, I think the gap between the Petrarca and Oliver level, and maybe the one-outness of Ollie Wines at the moment, clearly Zach Butters is right up there as Port Adelaide's best player as well when he's firing. I know you're as big a fan of him as I am, but yeah, they need him back up and going, and unfortunately, that looks like only a few weeks away now again.
Yeah, so you're one of the experts in terms of, you know, the trade staff and draft. If you were Port Adelaide, I mean, the demographic of their list is still pretty good. They've invested heavily in the draft. There's a number of first-round draft picks on their list. Now that the midfielders are starting to be ticked off and re-signing, you know, even Parrish re-signing, Merritt, you mentioned, Cripps, they're starting to become unavailable again. Is there any out there that fit for Port?
One I would put on the radar as being a good option, I think. And he's a bit underrated because, one, he's been out of sight, out of mind this year. And two, he plays for North Melbourne, which has struggled over the past few years, is Trent Dumont. Look, he's a player who had a look around at the end of last season with a year to go on his contract. So he would have had to be joining another club via a trade. This time around, he's an unrestricted free agent. So he can walk to another club. He had interest last year. The calf injury has meant that he missed the first half of this season. I think he's a pretty good player. I just think that this season and the fact that he plays for a lower profile club, some people might not see that. But I think in terms of adding to your depth of midfielders, he'd be a good option to have a look at from Port Adelaide's perspective.
So we love the trade space and it goes nuts when it happens and comes around. It doesn't feel like it's going to be that busy though, does it, Kau? Like with the players available, I guess Josh Kelly is the big one. There's a couple of names, but do you think it might be a little bit more quiet with players recommitting to their own clubs?
Yeah, there's a couple, as you said. Josh Kelly's a big free agent. We don't know where it's going to land for Jack Billings as well, who's yet to have a contract put to him at the Saints, despite being a restricted free agent. Matt Crouch, of course, as well. Where does it land for him, given the injury troubles he's had this year? So they're all the big main restricted free agents. And I think you're right, because clubs have been so stacked in terms of their salary caps and what they had to do at the end of last year and defer payments and ask players all around club land to push back money to make sure they could get under the salary cap, which had been revised by the AFL, means clubs just don't have the cash to splash this season. So I know, speaking to list managers and managers, they are finding it as well that there's not as many names doing the rounds in terms of being on the move, because at this point, the clubs aren't really sure what the salary cap will be in the future as well. They're not completely certain on what the player list numbers will be for each club. So there is still some uncertainty out there, and the collective bargaining agreement too in the future is unclear. So put all those into the mix, and the fact that the clubs had to push back money so much last year means there isn't as much cash ready out there to spend on some guys to lure them around.
Hey, we know that the underage players didn't get much footy at all last year. It's shaping to be similar this year, is it, Kau? So some postponing of some big games, including the Allies, who were set to play Vic Metro this weekend. That's been cancelled due to COVID. Is there concerns that they're not getting enough footy in?
Yeah, I think that would be a concern from recruiters for sure. And they're probably ready at this point of the year. Well, they definitely are ready to have that next test. I mean, we've seen a lot of the big names in terms of the draft pool play at lower levels and NAB League level, and in South Australia, the under-18s competition there, in Western Australia, the Colts competition, and probably show that they're ready for the next step and the next step up. Now, that won't come until later this year. That was the plan all along, that the championships, the under-19 championships, would be in the second half of the year. I guess a risk with that, though, as we've clearly found out across this season, has been that, you know, a breakout of COVID-19 in certain states can mean that can be delayed and delayed and pushed back. And that's what's happened this week. As you say, the under-19s was meant to start in the Gold Coast with the Vic Metro and Allies game. That's been rescheduled for coming weeks. Hopefully they can get that game off and running. But yeah, there is a feel that, you know, we're ready to see these guys level up a little bit, and it won't come for a little bit longer than they might have hoped.
So in its place is a challenge match between Vic Metro and Vic Country. That's at Windy Hill tomorrow from midday. Who are the names we need to keep a close eye on?
From today, actually, at midday. So if you're listening, you can get down and have a look at that one from midday. And or if you're not, you can catch it on afl.com.au and the AFL Live app, the live stream there. Look, it's going to be a good game because it's a competitive squad from both Vic Metro and Vic Country. They had trial games a couple of weeks ago where there was two games and two teams from each region. Now it's down to one, and we're seeing the best of the best from Victoria up against each other. A couple of guys that I'm excited to see. Campbell Chesser is back from a knee injury. He could be a top 10 to 15 pick. Just hasn't played too much this year. Josh Sin, who started the year, you know, right in the mix of that number one spot. He's back from a hamstring injury in recent weeks. He didn't play in the trial game a couple of weeks ago. He's, you know, a lightning quick player off half back who can really be a running carry player. Josh Rochelle kicked 6 goals last week, came playing for the Murray Bush Rangers in the NAB League. So he's a small forward. I keep comparing him to Alan Dydak, which is probably a bit of a stretch given these guys are born in 2003. But he's a bit of Toby Green above his head as well as a small forward. And one that Melbourne supporters might keep an eye on as well is, just to make their last couple of days even better, is Mac Andrew is back from concussion. Now, Mac Andrew, multicultural talent who's from the Africa region and also is a part of their Next Generation Academy. Now, the interesting thing with him is that if, as things go, he looks like being a top 15 pick, which would mean that the D's don't actually get access to him under NGO rules. So he's almost going too well, but he's certainly a talent and a really exciting player that will be running around today in Vic Country.
Nick Dacos also didn't play in a trial game due to some soreness, but he's back today as well, so that'll be exciting for Pies fans.
Yeah, he's a Jet. He's back, so he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. And Sam Darcy missed last week as well with a calf injury. So he'll be playing a key forward. Obviously, those two are probably among the three contenders for the number one pick, and the other one being Jason Horn from South Adelaide, who's pieced together a pretty exciting season playing a full year of senior level in the sample. So all very different players, but certainly Nick Dacos and Sam Darcy as father-sons. Look, they're up there, but they're, you know, going to be off limits, really, in terms of who's out there and who can grab them. So Jason Horn in the open pool, but certainly Nick Dacos as a midfielder. There has been very few players come through the draft in recent years that have had as commanding and dominant seasons as him. And Sam Darcy, well, he kicked 6 goals in a trial game a couple of weeks ago. And since we sort of started watching him at the start of the season, it's been an amazing rise, really. So he's pushed himself right up the rungs of the draft and looks like being a top 3 pick now.
Hey, what did you make of Luke Beveridge's comments? May have been last week. He mentioned about clubs bidding on the players that they have access to. For example, Adelaide bidding on Ugel Hagen and not allowing them to the player that they end up selecting. So Riley Filthorpe in that instance to be the number one pick, which doesn't allow them to get the $10,000 share portfolio or whatever it is from NAB. Was it a strange comment to make?
It was interesting, wasn't it? I mean, the Dogs are in a pretty privileged position given they get the number one pick, Jamari Ugel Hagen, who we'll see debut this week through the Next Generation Academy rules, which have now been abolished. So that'll never happen again. And then they get a father-son this year with potentially the number one, two or three selections. And they're probably the club that's benefited most from the father-sons. And it also gives them a license to then go and trade out your first pick because they did that last year as part of the Treloar deal. So really having Jamara waiting in the wings allowed them to get Adam Treloar at a pretty cheap value. This year they can do that again with their first pick. So there's some real benefits to having these guys, obviously. As for his comments, I mean, every club sort of bids on players differently. Some are active bidders. Adelaide has been active bidders for the duration of the live bidding system. We've seen that through the Northern Academies coming through all those years ago. I think they bid on Harry Himmelberg a few years ago as well, who they really eyed off as an early talent. So they've shown a tendency to do it. Other clubs don't like to get as involved in that as much. So everyone looks at that a little bit differently. But yeah, it's an interesting political move as well when you've got the number one pick. And I always thought that it would be unlikely that a club would move that number one pick and make it clear that that player was their second choice. In the end, the Crows did that with Thilthorpe. And yeah, it'd be interesting to know whether Riley Thilthorpe would have preferred to go number one. I reckon he probably would have, but and he's probably shown that he'd be worthy of that selection too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, who's got Collingwood's first pick, though? They traded out. The Giants have got that pick, don't they? Which would, at the moment as it sits, be pick three in the draft. So not a bad move from them.
Yeah, really savvy move in the middle of last year's draft to do that. The Pies traded out and had a big splash at last year's draft. So they did pick up some players and make a real impact to get, I think, four or five picks inside the top 30. And they picked up Reece McInnes, an academy player who we haven't seen yet. So they really identified last year's draft, the Pies, to make a real splash. But in doing that, they obviously had to move out their future first pick. And it's given the Giants, at the moment, you know, around if they finished 8th, 9th, 10th, it could be two picks inside the top 10 or 11 selections. And we know the talent pool that they've had come through, and it's sort of been a bit of a revolving door in terms of early picks because of those players leaving across the past couple of years. But yeah, it's given them a position of strength. And with pick three, if it stays around that point, obviously Darcy and Dacos are basically off limits. But there are some other really good players in there. Finn Callahan, who won't play today, Drew, due to a foot injury. He's among that group. Josh Gibkiss, a key back who reminds me a lot of Darcy Moore with the way he flies with the ball and grabs his mark in defence. So there are a couple of names who should be right in the mix of that first pick if it remains around that spot.
And pretty exciting for Dogs fans, as you mentioned. They're flying. They're second on the ladder at the moment. They've got young players coming out of their backside, and their number one draft pick, Hugo Hagen's going to debut. What do you think we should expect? How ready is he to go at AFL level, do you think?
Fascinating selection, this one, because you speak to clubs who were watching his VFL last week and they said he's pretty quiet. Obviously, the opportunity arises because of Aaron Norton's injury. I think he could be one of those players. And look, this is based on seeing him at different levels over the past three or so years. I think he could be one of those players that actually does a little bit better at AFL level when the ball's delivered to him a little bit better. His strength is getting off his man with a real quick few steps, and that athleticism and speed that he has. I mean, this is a guy who ran 2.93, I think, for 20 metres in the testing last year for a guy who's, you know, 200 centimetres tall. So he's an amazing athlete, and I think we'll see that on show at AFL level, maybe more than VFL level, which is a different brand of footy. So I'm excited to see what he does. It wouldn't surprise me if he hit the scoreboard, because he's always been able to do that. It doesn't take too many opportunities to do that, and he generally is a guy that once he finds his groove can hit the scoreboard pretty regularly. So yeah, I'm excited to see how he goes, and yeah, well done to the Dogs. I mean, they've made him wait, and they haven't had to rush him. It's been such a unique year for a number one pick, hasn't it? Because it's so rare that the number one pick goes to a premiership contender and at sometimes a premiership favourite. So yeah, they get to blood him in now, and if he gets a bit of a run at it, then who knows what sort of impact he could have in the last 6 weeks of the season.
So, mate, you'll be heading down to Windy Hill today. How can we watch and catch up with this big game for the youngsters today?
Yeah, it'd be a great game. So catch that one on afl.com.au or the AFL Live official app from 12 PM Eastern Standard Time. So live commentary, all the game, all the footage, all the highlights. Everything you need to know about these kids will be on there. So tune in there and enjoy some of the next generation.
Awesome, mate. Great coverage as always. Kowtoomey, afl.com.au, joining us this morning. That game, the country match, they're calling it a challenge match actually, between Vic Metro and Vic Country, as he said, on the website from Windy Hill at midday. If you want to get a glimpse of the next generation, did he just say they're born in 2003? These ones being drafted, that is frightening. Hey, we'd love your calls. 1300 736 736. Heaps of texts coming through as well. G'day, Kane. Why would Scott Pendlebury and Alistair Clarkson catch up for coffee at a coffee shop? Surely their private residence would be smarter. Collingwood have bluffed the Hawks with the Mitchell calls. Pendles and Clarko been catching up, have they? A bit of a word on the street for you there at a public coffee shop. Maybe they're just good mates and talking some footy. But Scott Pendlebury did say during the week, didn't he, that his post-playing career will be in coaching. Good stuff. Good rumours coming through this morning, thick and fast. 18 minutes past 10 o'clock. We've got a massive morning coming up. We'd love your thoughts, and you can join in the conversation as always on 1300 736 736.